Christmas and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text which we shall consider this morning is the lesson that you heard read just a few moments ago. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's been quite a while since I last preached to you people. It was Labor Day weekend was the last sermon that I delivered to you in here at Zion. How many of you remember that last sermon about a month and a half ago? Any of you? Well, for crying out loud here. How about the second to the last sermon? How many of you remember that that I preached 3 months ago? Oh, for crying out loud. Well, I'll try to give you some help in remembering that second to the last sermon that I preached to you 3 months ago. I began that sermon by asking you how many of you had a favorite number. And I asked you what that number was. How many of you remember that? And I'm you. How many of you remember I told you in that message what my favorite number was? And if you remember my favorite number? Oh, crying out loud. I told you that my favorite number was 18. Because my birthday is December 18th. And my parents' anniversary was October 18th, which was just a week ago yesterday. Now, I also said in that message, I asked you to remember this specifically, that there's something else that we celebrate on October 18th every year. The Christian Church honors and remembers one particular saint every year on October 18th. And that saint is Saint Luke, the writer of the third gospel in the New Testament. Now, nearly 3 months ago, on July 20th, I based my sermon for that Sunday on the gospel lesson for the day. The gospel lesson which came from Luke chapter 10. And that lesson, that gospel lesson, was about these two sisters. These two sisters who were not getting along very well. Can you think of who those two sisters might be? They were Mary and Martha. And they weren't getting along very well that day because they invited Jesus to their home. And Martha ended up doing all the work, preparing this meal for them. While Mary just sat there at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. Now in our text for this morning, we find two other sisters who are not getting along very well. And their names are Leah and Rachel. They're not getting along very well because they're both married to the same man, Jacob. Now, for the next portion of my message, I'm going to be that Jacob that you see on the screen right now. Not this other Jacob who's part of our worship team. I'm also going to be him for just a few moments later on in this message. Good morning to all of you. My name is Jacob. And I brought my whole family to church with me this morning. They're a pretty good-sized family, and they take up about 2.5 or 3 pews, just my family. Now, to my left here is my second favorite wife. How would you like to introduce a lady you sit next to right now as your second favorite wife? This is my second favorite wife, Leah, and her 4 sons. They are my 4 oldest sons. I can't remember any of their names. Now, to my right is my favorite wife, Rachel. And standing next to her are her 2 sons, my 2 youngest sons, my favorite sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, let me go back this way. And as you heard in your lesson this morning,
My father-in-law, Laban, gave his daughter Leah a servant to take care of her and watch over her. Her name was Zilpah. And I had two more sons with her. I can't remember their names either. Now to my right, Laban, and these two sons of Zilpah, they're my seventh and eighth sons. Now standing next to Rachel is a servant that Laban gave to her, Bilhah. And I had two more sons with Bilhah. They're my fifth and sixth sons. Now I'm going to go back here once more. And standing next to Leah and her servant and her sons and her servant's sons are two more young men. Those two sons were also sons of Leah. They're my ninth and tenth sons. And finally, standing at the very end there, as I finally got a daughter, her name was Dinah. You can read all about this in the next chapter of Genesis chapter 30. Now let me tell you how all this came about. My father-in-law, Laban, was also my uncle. He was my mother, Rebecca's brother. You see, I had to run away from home. My father's name was Isaac, and I had a twin brother, Esau. My name, Jacob, means he who grabs the heel, or he who deceives, or he who cheats. And I truly lived up to that name. I bribed Esau out of his birthright. I wouldn't give him a big bowl of porridge when he was starving to death. So I made him pay me with his birthright. And I tricked my father, Isaac, into giving me his blessing instead of his other son, his favorite son, Esau. Isaac was now so angry with me. He could have killed me. So I had to run away from home and go to my mother's homeland many, many miles away. I came to this place called Aaron. And I saw there some shepherds taking care of their sheep, watering their sheep. I asked them if they knew my uncle Laban. They not only knew Laban, but they introduced me to one of Laban's daughters, his younger daughter, Rachel. She was so beautiful. It was love at first sight for me. She went home to tell her father that I came. And I started working for Laban. I told him everything I had done, why I had run away, why I had come all this distance to be with him. And I told him about the terrible way that I had treated my father and my brother. I had kind of lost my family back in my homeland. My father, my mother, my brother. But now I had a new family. I lived with my uncle, his two daughters, my cousin. After I worked for my uncle for a while, he asked me what kind of wages I wanted. He gave me the chance to set those wages. I told him that I would work for him for 7 years if he then would give me his younger daughter, Rachel, to be my wife. He agreed to that. And those 7 years flew by. Because I love Rachel so much. But notice in our text for today that I had to remind Laban when those 7 years were up. He didn't remember it on his own. He was trying to get as much work out of me as he possibly could. The night that Rachel and I were supposed to be married, Laban, of course, threw a big feast for that celebration. So after that feast, I went into this tent and I waited for her. It was very dark outside that night, and the woman who came into this tent was wearing a veil. She was about the same shape and size that Leah was. So I made love to this woman all that night. The next morning I got up and I found out that I had made love to Leah, Rachel's sister. I was so mad at Laban, I could have strangled him. But instead, I simply asked him why he had carried out this terrible deception against me. I could have killed Laban for what he did. But again, I didn't touch him. What could I do when Laban had so terribly deceived me in this way, when I had just as terribly deceived my own father and my brother? Maybe there's some truth to this saying, what goes around comes around. Anyway, Laban told me that in this part of the world, you never married off your younger daughter first. You had to always marry off your older daughter. And so then he also told me that I had to work for him another 7 years. That didn't mean that during those 7 years, I couldn't repeatedly tell Rachel how much I loved her or show her in any number of ways how much I loved her. Same time during those next 7 years, I kind of also learned to love Leah a little bit. My love for her grew more and more. But there was no doubt at all that I loved Rachel most of all. But that's enough with looking at the story of that Jacob that you've been seeing on the screen. Not just for the next few minutes. I want to talk about this other Jacob. That Jacob that you see in the screen. Over the last few months, we've talked about my preaching this last Sunday of October, Reformation Sunday. And this other Jacob has said to me over the last few months, Grant, that's what he calls me on the softball diamond. Not pastor or reverend or sweetie pie. Says, Graham, you know the text that you have to preach on that last Sunday, don't you? You have to preach on the Sunday school lesson that day. And they're talking about that Jacob of the Old Testament, that Jacob of the book of Genesis. So that's what their sermon has to be about. And besides that, it's Reformation Sunday that Sunday. So you have to somehow tie in this Jacob of the Old Testament with Reformation Sunday. I bet you a homemade pie that you can't possibly tie those two things together. That Jacob of the Old Testament with Reformation Sunday. But all contrary, dear Jacob. Now for the rest of the message. I'm not going to be either one of those two Jacobs. I'm going to be good old Pastor Graham's over the hill, retired Pastor Graham. Today is Reformation Sunday. Today we remember Martin Luther. One of the most well-known things that Martin Luther wrote and put together is this book, Luther's Small Catechism. This small catechism talks about the six chief parts of our Christian faith. There are about five or six people in this congregation who teach different parts of this catechism for our young people of this congregation, so that by the time they're done studying this book, they can become confirmed members of this church. Now, there's something else in this catechism that we can find besides these six key parts of Christian doctrine. There's something else that was very important to Martin Luther to include in this book. And that something else is called the Table of Duties. This Table of Duties covers all the different vocations that we serve in our lives. By vocation, I'm not just talking about that 9-to-5 job that you work every day, that 40-hour-a-week vocation. Not just talking about being a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. There are several other vocations that this Table of Duties talks about. Jacob held many of those vocations, including being a shepherd for his father-in-law. Jacob was also a father, a son, a husband, and a brother. And as we look at our text for this morning, he didn't do a very good job of serving any of those vocations. He was very deceitful and sinful in all these different vocations he served. We would also have to admit ourselves that we are very sinful and deceitful in all the different vocations that we serve. But now let me get back to something else that happened to Jacob shortly before our text for this morning. Shortly before he got to this distant homeland of his mother. Jacob was sleeping one night when he had a dream. And in this dream, he sees a stairway that stretched all the way from heaven down to earth. And God Almighty stood at the top of that stairway. God Almighty said to Jacob, "I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." That was God's pure grace, which led him to make these wonderful promises to Jacob. Jacob didn't deserve any of those promises that were given to him because of how he had been so deceitful and sinful in all these different vocations that he served. In the same way, we don't deserve the promises that God has made to us and kept for us, because we also have been so deceitful and sinful in all the vocations we serve. Grace alone is what caused God to make and keep these promises to us. Grace alone is what led God to make these promises to us. And grace alone is one of the pillars of Luther's Reformation. And that leads me to something else that I need to talk a little bit about. That's written for us in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. In the men's Bible study I led this past summer, we talked about the chronological order of Jesus' ministry. And we talked about Jesus calling the first half of his dozen disciples who came to follow him. The last half of those first six disciples that Jesus called to follow him was a man named Nathanael. And the first thing that Jesus said to this Nathanael was this: "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And remember this well-known chapter of Isaiah 53, in which the prophet Isaiah talks about Jesus being our suffering servant. In one verse of Isaiah 53, he says about our suffering servant Jesus, "And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit and his mom. Jesus, when he walked this earth as one of us, also carried out many vocations. He was a son, he was a brother, he was a cousin, he was a preacher, he was a teacher. He lived all those different vocations without any kind of sin or any kind of deceit, so that he could make up for all the times we have carried out our vocations with sin and deceit. Now, going back to John chapter 1, the last thing that Jesus said to this Nathanael was this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus was going to fulfill this dream that Jacob had. Jacob's descendant, Jesus Christ, would be our stairway into heaven. Christ alone. Christ alone is another pillar of Luther's Reformation. One last thing to tie in Jacob with the Reformation. Sometime after our text, God told Jacob that he wanted him to go back home to his own family and reconcile himself with Esau. Just before he met his brother Esau, Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant." Before all these things that happened to Jacob, Jacob felt that the only way that he could get ahead in this world was by being deceitful and dishonest, by being more cunning than the people he wanted to climb over. But now, Jacob returns home. He sees that all by God's love and faithfulness that he has everything that he has. In about another month, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Day, we remember that we have all the blessings we have, including a Savior from our sin. We have all those blessings because of God's love and faithfulness. We believe that with all of our hearts. Faith alone. Still one more pillar of Luther's Reformation. So there you have it. I'm kind of tired from being two Jacobs and an old preacher all in one sermon. So I'm going to bring that sermon to an end. Sorry I got a little bit long this morning. That's the first time that's ever happened, isn't it? So anyway, I close this message by wishing all of you a happy Reformation Sunday. And all of you, remind Jacob, that other Jacob, that he owes me a homemade pie. Amen.